Today's unscripted guest is a guest we have long looked forward to. My Uncle Aaron sits down with Cammie Quartercrax from the Ohio State University softball team. Cammie is so much more than one of the most recognizable softball players in the country. You'll hear that in today's interview. For a quick look, Cammie signed her national letter of intent in November of 2020 and is majoring in communication. Here are just a few of her honors and awards since joining the Buckeyes. First team All Big Ten, Big Ten All Defensive Team, Big Ten All Freshman Team, Big Ten Freshman of the Week, and OSU Scholar Athlete. Our friend Cammie is so much more than her awards. We cannot wait for you to hear her story. And now, from the studios, here's my Uncle Aaron with today's guest and our dear friend, Cammie Quartercrax.
Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. My name's Corby LaCroix, and the song you're hearing right now is called Great and Mighty One, available on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your music. But for now, recording from the Unscripted Studio, here's your host and my friend, Aaron Conrad.
Great Redeemer, God of grace, come receive our songs of praise.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Unscripted from my studios in Hilliard, Ohio. My guest today, will you introduce yourself and we'll go from there.
I'm Cammie Quartercrax. I play shortstop at Ohio State for the past 2 years. I'm a junior from Westville, Ohio, only about 25 minutes away. Born and raised in Ohio, and I get to represent my school, so I love it. My state.
Yeah, you do. Let's get this out of the way, because I'm wearing my Ohio State hat. I'm a North Carolina fan. As you know, I am friends with your teammates and one of your coaches. So my hat today has a 55 and a 22 on it. And
I saw that.
I'm here for it, but y'all beat my team and you went 2 for 3. I looked it up today. You went 2 for 3 with an RBI and a run scored, and I'm not happy about it. All right, can we talk about it or no?
Oh yeah, let's talk about it. I wish I would have known, or I would have maybe tried to go 3 for 3 that game. I don't know.
All right. Well, I'm so glad to have you on. It's an honor to have you on today. For those that don't know you, Cammie, can you just tell your story?
Yeah, so I was born into the most amazing family ever, starting there. I love my parents so much more than anything. And I have an older brother who we've competed our entire lives together. We're only a year apart, a year and a week exactly. So he played basketball, I played basketball, he played baseball, I played softball. We were just always competing. I have a huge, competitive, loving, big family. And so I was fortunate enough to just be involved in sports, and they really let me fall in love with what sports can do before, like, oh, you might be able to go to college for this, you might be able to make some money on this, pay for school. It was never about that. It was more, you love it. Like, what can we do to help you get where you want to be through sports and allow you to play sports for as long as you can? And that's kind of been, the more I work with younger girls now, the more grateful I am for my parents, really just wanting what's best for me and allowing me to love something before trying to make it all a job. And so I really, that's pretty much how I really got started. I just love softball. I'm going to do it all the time. And I love basketball too. I tell people basketball is like my first breakup, because I never had a boyfriend through high school and all that stuff. So when I had to stop playing basketball, I was like, oh my gosh, it crushed me. But it honestly helped me today. Like, it helps me, because losing a sport made me realize, like, I never want to regret not doing enough. So it like makes it easy going to every optional workout or just putting in extra time on my own, just because I know one day I'm not gonna have the fingerprint. And so Ohio State facilities. So, but yeah, that playing for Ohio State played a big role for me. Like I said, my family, I get to play for the state I was raised in, being Ohio State. And then my parents, obviously, my brother, a lot of us, they come to every single game, especially home games. My grandma, my grandpa, cousins, aunts, uncles, everyone, friends from high school. I'm a big people person, so just the opportunity to play in front of people that have been there my entire life and have helped me got where I was, and playing with people who I love and can't imagine my life without now at Ohio State and things like that. It's been an incredible experience, and I'm just extremely blessed. Blessed is the only word I can really use to be in my situation. And just at Ohio State, I've developed not only as a player, but as a person, as a Christian, as I can't imagine like being who I am, being where I am, but more importantly, who I am today without having the people that allowed me to get to where I am. So it's kind of a little bit about me.
I'm going to unpack a lot of that. Because seriously, all right, we're gonna get into it today. Let me start with this. You play basketball and softball in high school. So, at what point did you decide softball is my jam? It's not gonna be basketball, because you were very good at basketball. Your dad's a basketball coach, right?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and so you know, for parents like myself that coach my kids in sports, and my daughter chose track, my son chose baseball, and my youngest chose swimming. So my jam was basketball, but it doesn't always mean that's how it works out. So when did you know that you were going to play softball? Like, what was that moment?
Right. So I honestly, my whole life, like, it was softball, 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 from t-ball to coach pitch to kid pitch to whatever. Like, I've always just been big softball girl. And then in fifth grade, I didn't start playing basketball until about fourth grade, somewhere in there, maybe a little younger, but it was more like something I picked up along the way. And even through high school, in my freshman year, I was on varsity, but then my sophomore year, I started on varsity, and I was just, my dad being the coach, I was rebounds, assist, box out. Like, I was like, yeah, very like, that was, and like, we had girls that were, basketball was their jam. And so I was like, get the ball to them. I mean, we had like D1 point guards, shooting guards. I mean, we had a 6'3 post that was committed to Pitt for volleyball, which, I mean, no one's out jumping her, out boxing her. So I'm like, give her the ball also. But then I really realized pretty much my sophomore year, but going into my junior year, like, wow, like, I could really like take it up a notch in basketball too. Like, so, I mean, I would average 20 points, but it all be like driving in the paint, because I'm just such a physical girl. Like, I just love driving in. So I just always kind of felt like I was a softball player that was playing basketball. And so I really had like the basketball staff at my high school really believed in me and helped develop me to realize like, dude, you're a big impact on this team. Like, you can be our star basketball player too. You don't have to just be softball. So, I mean, those coaches really took the time to like work with me one-on-one develop. And for me, like, it was never, once I found that staff and that support and like that drive, I love basketball. I loved competing. There was anyone could say to me, are you scared you're going to get hurt? Maybe you shouldn't play. Like, there is no way I was going to miss out on a season of basketball for what ifs. I just loved the sport so much, and the team and the coaches and everything about it, that I just wanted to play for as long as I could. But I knew, obviously, at the end of the day, like, I loved softball, and like, I gave my all to softball for so much longer that I've just kind of always been into softball.
So for those listening, and athletes and parents and all those people, like, what was your path to Ohio State in terms of softball? Because you're one of the most recognizable, certainly Ohio State players, but also I think Division I players at this point in softball. So what was your path to Ohio State? Because I think parents can really get this wrong. And I really mean that, Cammie. What was your path?
Right. So, like I said, I was fortunate my parents were able to let me just love it. And my parents would do anything for me. But at the end of the day, they were never the ones bringing me like, hey, you want to go hit? Hey, you should go do this. It all came from me. And they would never tell me no. I'm like, Dad, can I go hit? Dad, I think this, the coaches think I should work with a hitting coach. These college coaches. Is there any way you can help me with that? Yeah, we found hitting coaches, workout training, whatever it was. My parents were willing to help me get to where I wanted to be 100% of the way. But it had to have been because I wanted to. It was my dream, not theirs. But they were going to help me do whatever they wanted, whatever it took for me to be able to get to where I wanted to be. So I just started playing all the time, like softball, working out, training. And I played for Ohio Lasers. I remember making that team. I was like, oh my gosh, like that was like, the Ohio Lasers was like one of the biggest softball programs in Ohio during that time. And I was like, so stunned I made it. When I made it, like, obviously I started at the bottom of the lineup. I just joined the team. And then it was like, we'll get you some innings, like maybe, but obviously you have to earn it. And like little by little, I liked that competition kind of. So I would just work my way up little by little. And so I became like the three hole and starting shortstop for like every game. And then I had the opportunity to play for another team, the Beverly Bandits, which is a very nationally known team organization. And you hear a lot of mixed things because people hate the Bandits if you're not them, but when you're them, like, you love it. So it's like, right. I was kind of nervous. I was like, I loved where I was and who I was with, but at the end of the day, to really elevate my game, that was the step that I thought would be necessary. And looking back at it, I would have never have changed that decision. I had developed so much under those coaches and with those players. I mean, everyone I played with was committed to a D1 school, and it was just like, it was no one in that lineup was just playing for like, for no deal. Like everyone cared and everyone was invested. And when you play on a team that everyone's bought in, I mean, it's just a different feeling. So I loved it. And so I moved up to that organization. So it was a big thing, finding organizations that are going to make me better and give me the platform to be seen and showcased. But at the end of the day, it came down to when those coaches were there, how was I performing? What was I doing? And that came from all the workouts, or when, what you do when no one's looking is what you will do when everyone's looking. I'm like a firm believer in that. So I was able to perform, I guess, decently well in front of some of these college coaches that started reaching out. So that was really exciting. But a lot of them were just talking about how, like, people watch everything you do, obviously. So I'm a very vocal person. So I feel like my voice and the way that I interacted with my teammates stood out and really allowed them to watch, no matter how I get my, what I did up to bat and things like that. But obviously I was just working on, and then I built those connections with college coaches. I went to some camps. Like my parents said, they were like, if you want to do this, like, we'll set you up as best we can. So I went to some camps, and then the camps led to visits and offers and all that fun stuff. But yeah, that was, and then Ohio State, it offered me something no other school did. And it was the ability to be like a hometown hero, was what Coach Kelly wrote on the letter to me when I came on my official visit before I committed. And I was like, this is home. And at first it felt like, I was like, maybe this is, I never had that. Like, obviously I loved Ohio State ever since I was younger, but it wasn't like, I never had that. Like, I loved all the schools I visited. I loved all the coaches, the programs and everything about it. And I never had that feeling. Like, people say they get on campus and right away, like, this is my home. But like, I loved everything about every, like, all these places. Like, I was taking it all in. I was grateful. And I really liked everywhere. And so for me, it just came down, like, why was I so comfortable at Ohio State? Like, it wasn't because I was bored, because I know it so well. It was because I was comfortable and I know what I was getting into, and I know the people and the coaching staff, and I'm close to my family and things like that. That played the biggest factor of just being able to have the opportunity to maybe be seen as like a hometown hero. Like, I sat in that stand as a little girl chasing foul balls and asking for girls to sign them and take pictures. And then I blinked, and next thing I knew, I was a player on the field and little girls were coming up to me. And it's just like a full circle moment to see. And it's just blessed, like, just incredible to have the opportunity that I do have.
Who else recruited you? Did anybody else recruit you? I'm sure there was.
Yeah. So I started taking visits in eighth grade, honestly, which is crazy to think about now because there's rule changes. I know.
Come on, Cammie. That's crazy.
But I know in eighth grade, I was taking visits to, or eighth grade, freshman year-ish, I was taking visits like Ohio State, Kentucky, Miami, Ohio. But then the Miami, Ohio coach ended up going to Penn State, and then Toledo. But then that coach ended up going to Rutgers. And then I was always really close with Illinois too. So like all those schools were pretty much in the mix for me. But I had to narrow it down because at that time you can only take 5 official visits. So I chose to go to Illinois, Rutgers. I'm sorry, I forget. I'm just all into Ohio State. But then once I took my visit on Ohio State, I was talking to Pitt. But I just remember calling, like, I've this is where I want to go. I don't. And when you miss, when you, for visits, you end up missing for like tournaments to go on these visits with my team. And I just didn't want to keep missing. And so I decided, like, I'm going to go to Ohio. I've just decided so.
Well, Ohio State's way better because you made that decision. And they really are. I mean that genuinely, because I do follow softball because of the friends I have related to the programs. Where did faith come in? We're going to jump around a little bit because welcome to Unscripted. So, but when did faith come into your entire process?
So my parents were really big in faith, and we'd go to school. I mean, we'd go to church with them every Sunday. My dad's Catholic. I went to Catholic schools, but I was baptized and confirmed Methodist. So I was kind of, there's a lot of stuff going on by the day, like my eyes was like God. And like, that was like, so my parents got me into it obviously a lot. And the older I got, when I came to college, was the biggest jump I had in my faith, because it was when it became my faith. And my parents weren't waking me up and driving me to church anymore. And I didn't have religion class anymore. And it was, what do I want to make the most with my faith? And so it's when I started making the decisions, and I was able to become aware of this group, this cross sports athletic athlete Bible study that Ohio State has. And I didn't know about it. I found about it freshman year. And for me, it has been one of the most stable, just good hearted people that I have met ever in my life. It's the students that give up an hour every week on Wednesdays to just go and talk about their faith and hear about other people's testimony in the athletic department specifically. And it's just been an amazing way to meet the most genuine, kind-hearted, hardworking people I've ever gotten to meet. And just having that foundation since freshman year all the way through. And like this year, I'm the vice president of it. And my roommate's the treasurer, but like my best friend, teammate Reagan, she's huge in her faith too. So she's kind of been my partner in crime through this whole thing. Like, I mean, it is easier when you have someone that's going to these Bible groups with you and that's waking up and going to church with you on Sundays. And we found Rock City Church has been an amazing place to just worship and just be there with people you love. And that's when I kind of decided to make the decision. I wanted to get baptized just Christian. I didn't want to, there's Catholic, all those things, and they're all beautiful religions. But for me, the best thing for me was I just wanted to be Christian and known and baptized. And just, I wanted it to be my choice, because up to that point, my faith was, I had made, when I came to college, that's when it became my choice. And so I wanted my baptism to be my choice too. And like having that mark. And I just, so I was baptized again, and a lot of my teammates showed up for me, and a lot of teammates that aren't, don't even know where they stand on their faith showed up for me. And just having them there and being able to just hear a little bit of how amazing it is, like the faith is, and just interacting with so many teammates. And the most meaningful conversations I've had with my teammates are the ones where they come to me about faith and they ask me questions about faith. And I mean, you can post all you want about faith, but at the end of the day, people know who you are and they know what you're like, and your post will mean nothing if your actions don't align with it. Right. And I'm a firm believer in that. And so when my teammates do build up the courage, like ask me about my faith, or like really interested because they didn't have the foundation I did, that's been my most just eye-opening conversations that I just am so grateful for. And like when even like little girls after games or things like that, it's just been amazing. I love any second I get to talk about my faith. So it's because yeah. I just can't imagine without it.
One of my favorite quotes is, you will say what you think, but you'll live what you believe. And so you know, in your circumstance, you will play and say what you think, but you will live what you believe. And to your point, so that leads me to my next question about, you're one of the most recognizable Ohio State athletes at this point in your career. Young ladies look at you because of the world we live in today, TikTok and Instagram and streams and all these things. I mean, I do believe there's things that we're building too. And so your faith, I think, therefore determines your social media presence and your Division I athlete presence. You mentioned young ladies will come up to you today like you used to, you know, and want you to sign up a softball or get a picture. There has to be some pressure on you. I have daughters of your age. What's that like for you? Because you are a person of faith, you're a Division I athlete, people are looking up to you. That's a lot of pressure on you. What's that like?
I 100% agree. It is a lot of pressure, but I would never change it for the world, in all honesty. Like, when I started making TikToks or things like that, it just started because it just like started silly dances with teachers. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm getting views and followers. But then like looking back at it, I started understanding what could really come from that. And so like, that's why I am just beyond grateful. I had built those social media platforms to allow me to have the connections to all these younger girls out there, because girls come up to me after the games, and because of TikTok or Instagram or whatever it is, they feel like they know me in a sense, in a way that they're not afraid to come up and talk to me about things that they've seen in my life or on social media or whatever it is. And it just has allowed these people to build a wall or like go a bridge from one life to another and just feel comfortable enough to come up and speak to me. Like they know a part of me, and I can't even express just how genuinely grateful I am for every conversations I've had with younger girls. And I think it's been something I've never really overlooked. Like there's definitely those pressures. Like when I post something, I mean, my parents follow every social media account that I have. My mom's crazy on social media, right. But like, obviously yeah. Me having the relationship with my parents that I do and the standards that they have set for me, I mean, my parents are obviously at first when I said coaches at Ohio State, they look at all your social medias as well because you're representing their program in a sense. And they want to see that. So I think about that too. But then like wholeheartedly, I do 100% think about the younger, lots of my following is these younger girls and what are they going to be seeing in what I'm making. And so that's why I try really hard to keep my social medias as clean and up to date and as true to me as I can. But also I share about my faith on every social media. I mean, it's in every bio I have right away. The first thing that's listed in like the videos I post about my faith, and like every year on my glove, I've gotten Bible verses or things important to me about my faith. And it's just a conversation starter to all these little girls. Cause I mean, they're like, oh, cool glove. But then they're like, what's that mean? And then I'm like, oh, let me tell you about it. But yeah, it has been, there is pressure because obviously too, when you know these people know who you are a little bit, it's like, well, I don't want to be bad now. It's awful. I don't want to go 0-3 now. They're going to watch me because of TikTok. But like at the end of the day, they've taught me so much about what's really important. I mean, I come out after games and there's still little girls there. I could have the worst game of my life, 0-3 airs. Mm-hmm. And there are little girls out there being like, you did great. Oh my gosh. And they're just so excited for the opportunity to like speak with me. And I'm always like, what? Like I sucked in that game.
But, yeah, right.
But like every time a girl comes up, I just in my heart, I can't get used to it. No matter how many times or whatever, it's just, I just love having those conversations with young girls, working camps, giving lessons, things like that. And I'm just grateful that I get to do that. And I know obviously my days as a sophomore are coming to an end, but like these girls are just starting. And so like, I really do have an opportunity to impact them and what they think. And I feel like I see a lot of stuff on social media about how hard being a D1 athlete is, how hard sports are, but it is amazing too. And I have no problem talking about how grateful I am for the amazing things that I have for sports. And I feel like not enough light is shed on that because there is a lot of pressure and there's a lot of hard stuff, but there's also, it's one of the most rewarding things in my life. And like getting to have these connections with these little girls because of me being an athlete, it's just unreal, really, just blessed.
You are blessed. We're going to be all over the place. Welcome to Unscripted.
Unscripted.
The NIL and the transfer portal have really changed college sports. Can you explain that? Like, you know, that kind of came in, I think. So you were probably a freshman when that maybe started?
Yeah, I was
started?
The first. Yeah.
I don't want to get you in any kind of NCAA violation. Certainly don't want to. But let's just say, like, there's an athlete at a university that they're talking a $25 million NIL deal. As a softball player, can you help us understand that as someone who's on the other side of it? Because we just see what we see on the headlines, right?
Right. So NIL is basically name, image, and likeness. You're able to make money based on you, based on your name being used on jerseys, on merch, your face being on things, whatever it is, you're able to now make money off of that as college athletes were before it was a violation. And basically the big umbrella of it is as an athlete, you have to do something in order to receive something.
Right.
Like that's the big umbrella. Someone can't just be like, oh, you're an Ohio State softball player, let me just give you $1,000. Like that's, you have to do something in order to receive something. It's got to be like a deal like that. Right. And so, yeah, that's basically NIL kind of in a nutshell.
So let me ask you this, Cammie. And again, I don't want to get us into any kind of violations, but right, have you received NIL? Has someone reached out to you? And if they have, let's give them the link, because I understand the sponsorship thing. Like this is literally what, it's a sponsorship, but it's not on a banner on the softball field wall. It's a sponsorship of a player playing shortstop for Ohio State.
Right.
So that being said, have you received, like, has someone reached out to you? And is there someone we need to recognize?
I've been very grateful to have a variety of different NIL deals. I haven't had one that's like, I don't know, there's just
million.
A variety of, like there's been a variety of different ones, like as far as merchandise or things like that. And like on my Instagram bio, I have one link that Ohio State ended up doing for every athlete. Like you can go in and buy like a jersey shirt type thing. And
yeah,
I like that one just because it's pretty simple. And I don't know, it has my last name on it and it has Ohio State, where there's so many places like they can't use the Ohio State logo. So I just put that one there just in case people see it. But a lot of my NIL deals have been through like working with companies and bringing them exposure. And it's like a wide range. I work with local smaller businesses, but also like those bigger companies. Like I just did one with Taco Bell, and like I'm doing one. There's just different ones that I've been doing with that I haven't. I mean, I think it's, you look at those, you think NIL, you think, oh my gosh, these QB number one driving away in a Mercedes-Benz. Like, I don't know, you think about things like that. And like,
right.
That's the 2%, 1% of like all the athletes.
Yeah.
But really, like, NIL has helped me and my teammates in so many different ways. Like, from this, even from the standpoint of now we can give lessons and make money from giving lessons, where before that was even a violation. We can run camps now outside of like being at Ohio State, and we can get paid for that now. And like, it just built a deeper connection too. And like, being able to work with so many younger girls on their sport, but also being able to be compensated for it has been, because we don't have the hours to go get jobs and work on schedules. Right. And like, a lot of places won't hire you for the pay that you need. And I mean, as athletes, the full rides are very rare. So you still have bills to pay unless you're basketball or football, like, or some, I don't know, but it's just, you still have bills to pay no matter what. And so NIL has helped me and so many people, other athletes I know firsthand, just have some money in their pocket to be able to do what they want to do by also using their sport and using their name. And like, the social media platforms has been one of the biggest thing for me too with NIL.
Okay. So before I get into my little rant, what are all the links for you? Like, let's get those links out right now. What are your links where people can follow you and just love on you? What are those links?
Right. Well, I have my Instagram, basically. I worked at Lululemon too. I was looking at it right now. That was a big one when they came with Ohio State. That was so cool to be able to do that. I was JT on the football team. He did it. He was a guy athlete that did it, and I did it for the girls. But that was really cool. But you can see all my, just my Instagram's just my name, Kami.Quartercrax, KAMI.KORTOKRAX. It's a hard one. But then I have the link in my bio where you can go buy the jersey shirts. And I have like another highlight on there that says gear. You can hit another link and find it there. But, and then my TikTok's just Kami Quartercrax too. You can find it on there. But those are my biggest things. I post everything on there. So.
Well, I think it's fair to say too, as someone who's in the content world, you play for Ohio State.
Right.
And I'm going to leave this in there. I'm not going to edit that out, because you play for Ohio State, but in many ways, they benefit from you being a student athlete for them. That's just this whole system, right? And so this is a way, NIL is a way that we can reward the athletes for their thing. I'm going to tell you a really quick story. Chris Weber, who you may not know, and this is that team up north. I'm so sorry to use this as an example, but there's a documentary out about Chris Weber. And when the Fab Five came into college basketball many years ago, your dad will remember this, by the way. Chris Weber talks about the fact that he walked by the gift shop and his jersey was hanging in the gift shop, and he wanted a hamburger and he couldn't afford a hamburger because he didn't have any money. But the university was making money off of his jersey in the gift shop. I'll never forget that. And since then, I've been a fan of NIL. Like, young athletes, Division I athletes and their families have sacrificed a lot for those players to play for a university. And it doesn't matter if it's Michigan, Ohio State, North Carolina, Duke, I don't care. They have sacrificed. And so, in my opinion, sorry for the rant.
I'm a grand.
No, y'all deserve it. Like, and so does your family. And if you want to make, if some athlete can make $25 million, awesome. Good for them. Like, seriously, I'm okay. Anyway.
No way. Okay.
So your link, the best place it sounds like is Instagram.
Yeah. Instagram.
Okay. So Instagram, find Kami on Instagram. And that is what, one more time.
KAMI.KORTOKRAX. Kami Quartercrax.
And shout out to your family and shout out to you for working. Like, it's not like you just showed up at Ohio State.
Right.
Went to a tryout, made the team. You worked really hard and you deserve whatever all of that means. Let me ask you one more question on NIL. As someone of faith, has someone approached you with a brand that you were like, nah, that doesn't represent who I want to be as a person?
Not really, honestly. I feel like a lot of brands, when I talk to people, it's been the people are either genuinely trying to change how people view whatever they have, or just bring awareness to what people have worked hard for, because it just hasn't gone off yet, or just work with them to work with them and get the word out. And so I really haven't been presented with certain like brands that I don't know, they haven't reached out or whatever, but I mean, like, there's definitely, I definitely have standards where if certain places did want to reach out or things like that, or if I had to be like monitored because of my faith or not be able to talk about that, that'd be like a red flag for me. Mm-hmm. But that hasn't happened yet. So.
Okay. And you mentioned lessons. And again, this might get me in violation or we may have to edit it, but I want to mention it. So if you're doing lessons or camps or clinics or those kind of things, you're a Division I athlete. And I have nieces. I have people in my family that are playing softball. My daughters did not play softball, but I do have extended family and they're playing softball. So how can they work with Cammy?
So I posted in the summer, because I had a lot more time in the summer, obviously I posted on some Facebook accounts that I'm in this area and I'm giving lessons and I love it. And I posted some of my stats or record or not records, but rewards, I guess, and mm-hmm. awards. And I had a lot of people reach out and I've just been connected because I'm so involved in the younger girls. I've just had people after games or whatever it is come up, and it's been a variety of different ways. But if people are looking, like my social media accounts, I try to look at every message between my DMs, my requested DMs, and like even the further ones that you like have to double click for. I try to look at everything because I've just found messages from little girls or parents or anything and like all those. So I try to look at all my messages. I get on my social media. Facebook is probably the worst place to reach me. I'm not very active on it.
Yeah. It's your parents.
Right. I could be better at it, but my Instagram, I try to look at every single message that I get in there. Just because I never know who's trying to connect with me or just tell me something about their life or impact and things like that. And so I love hearing those things. So I look for that. But yeah, Instagram. I love working with younger girls. So.
Love it. And again, I'm sorry, one more time. Your Instagram is what?
K-A-M-I dot, like a little period, K-O-R-T-O-K-R-A-X. Cami Kortrax. Cami dot Kortrax.
All right. And that's the hub for everything. Okay. Are you ready for rapid fire? Because I got some good ones. I got like
a bunch rapid of good ones. Fire. All right.
Let's go. You ready? Okay. Yep. Your favorite walk up song ever?
Oh, okay. That's so hard. I'm big into music, but I'm going to go with one right now. I would say Put On. It's like, I put on for my city, on for my city. And I like it because like, I love it playing at Buckeye Field. It's like, this is my city. So I walk up, I feel so swaggy. I'm like, let's go. I think I'm going to keep that one. Honestly, I had it last year. I think I'm going to keep it this year. But we get three. They give us three, so I get a little bit of variety in there.
Really? All right. What are the other two?
So I'm not 100% sure yet on the other two, but last year's, I can't remember. One of my other favorite ones was Unlock the Swag or Unlock My Swag. I like that one a lot too by Ray Schumer. Unlock the Swag. Like I like songs where like I'm walking up there. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Let's see like Ray. Those are my kind of songs. So
what's the other one? There's three. What's the third one?
There's a song called Down in the DM, and I thought that one was so funny. So I just did that one, like, kind of because I thought it was funny. So, but that one was pretty stupid. I did that one my freshman year. And then, it was So Fresh and So Clean. I did that one last year. So Fresh and So Clean. So I don't know what my other two are going to be this year. We haven't had to decide yet.
Okay, tickets to any concert.
I'm a country concert type of gal. I'm going to say Hardy. I don't know if you heard him, but he's just a big USA loving yeehaw. And I got to see him. I saw Morgan Wallen and that was great. But Hardy, really, I love Hardy. I like his whole persona and everything. Like brought out the American flag. I was all in for that. So I was like, I loved it. So I would love to see Hardy perform again for sure.
Tickets to anywhere in the world. Where are you going to go?
I want to go to Greece so bad, or Italy. Someone said Greece is so overpopulated and whatever, but I love Italy. I want to go so bad.
Do you want to play in Italy? Because a few of your teammates.
Yes, that's true. I would love the opportunity to get to play over in Italy because it's Italy. I want to go so bad. My grandma, my mom's mom, big Italian family. She's last name was Benedetto. And I wish I was more Italian, but I try to play on my Italian roots, even though I'm not really fully Italian, but I want to go to Italy so bad. So yeah.
Well, coaches and former teammates have done that and they loved it. So, all right, let's talk about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. What do you got?
Ugh, I do not like Taylor Swift. I'm really might get hate on for that, but her old music was so good when she was like country, and I'm not even like all full on country girl. Like I love rap. I like all those things too, but she had such good songs, and then she was like singing Shake It Off, like Crawling Through Girls. I'm like, what are you doing? This isn't you, Taylor. I'm just kidding. So I had to nix her. I just not a fan of her. Travis Kelce. Yeah, he was who he was before, 100%. People try to say she did. No, she didn't. It was just they have very different followings. So obviously I think little girls are going to see Taylor Swift's man and want to follow. So he did get a lot of following, but he definitely had a lot of following before that. So it wasn't like one made the other. And Taylor Swift's super successful too. So good for her. Just really not my cup of tea.
Did you see my background? Just saying. Okay.
So you love Taylor Swift.
I no, I have daughters. So.
Oh.
All right. Did you see the Eras Tour movie? Apparently not.
I told you no, but
apparently not.
But okay. Like girls come up and they have those beaded bracelets from her things, and I'm like, those are cute. And like, I just like good for you. And they're like, we're bringing you one tomorrow. And I'm like, as long as it doesn't say Swifty on it, I'll wear. I'm just kidding.
But, so much hate, goodness.
Yeah. Okay. She's successful, right. So good for her. I think she just did a little switch up, and I'm like,
okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
Next one.
I did not see your background. Now it's all I see. I'm just staring at it back there.
Cammy, seriously. Dead. All right. One. I'm going to have to edit. One movie for the road trip. What are you taking with you? What's your favorite movie?
Oh, my gosh. Have you ever seen the Madea movies? Tyler Perry. His movies are so funny, but no one ever really like knows, like not a lot of people really know them, but he has a Halloween one named Boo, and it's just so funny to me. I love that movie. But also, like, if I had to go sports movie, I don't know, there's so many good ones actually, but Remember the Titans is like, I think, one of my favorite classic movies. Every time I watch it, I'm like inspired and ready to go. But I love that one a lot.
Did you ever look at your coach and say run it up?
I did not.
No? Okay.
Right. Not yet.
All right. Was UNC ever on your radar?
They actually were not. I mean, it's a beautiful school. I love their colors. It's warm there too. Warmer, I guess. But unfortunately, they were never on the radar. But I love my home state, so.
Well, the transfer portal is still an option. Sorry. All right.
Next one. Okay.
This is too fun. All right. So what's your best memory at OSU so far?
My best memory right now so far at Ohio State, someone actually asked me this the other day, and at first I want to be like, win a series against the team up north in the first time in 33 years. But then I really had to think about it, and I was like, honestly, my favorite memory Ohio State has given me was being able to have my grandma. I like wheeled her out into the field during our charity classic. She had cancer 6 times, and getting able to have that moment with her where she threw me out like the first pitch in front of everybody, and just getting to have her story, talk a little bit. I mean, she was loving it. She was down there kissing, waving to everybody. And like, she recently passed away. So having had that moment with her, I didn't really in the time, I knew it was special, but looking back on it, I didn't know how special it would really be to me. And so I'm just so grateful that my coach encouraged that, my mom encouraged that, and they want to do something for all the families that cancer affects. And I don't know many other schools that would have done that, but I know Ohio State did, and I'm forever grateful that they gave me that memory with her.
And thank you for coming on, because I know it was just a few weeks ago, so thank you for coming on. Yeah, so your friends share that with me, and I'm honored that you would come on. So what's your hope for your future? What are you planning to do?
So my mom, I love my parents, so I'm like their little shadow. So I wanted to be a coach and teacher at first, but then I realized the teaching school and all that. Like, I don't know about all that. So then I was like, my mom was on the news. So I would love, like, my dream job is an ESPN reporter, silent reporter down there on the action. Like, I want to be around in sports 100%. But then I took TV production, so I like just being an anchor too, but I would like to cover sports specifically too. So, but right now, like, that's kind of what I want to do, just and continue to just build my platforms, speak on my faith, but also 100% I want to give lessons still. And I just love watching these girls develop and being able to be a part of their journey. And so I want to give lessons for as long as people think I still know what I'm talking about. So
I've asked Cammy this. I've asked Caitlin this. How hard is it to know, and Lexi as well, how hard is it to know, and Lexi has gone on to play overseas, Cammy did as well, how hard is it to know that, you know, NBA, MLB, like there's a future for the men's athletics. Softball's a little different. There's not, like, the runway is in sight. How hard is that, like, to know that? And I didn't write this in my notes. I'm sorry.
No, that's unscripted. No, it honestly is, it sucks. Like, I'm gonna be honest, 100%. Yeah. I talk about it all the time with, like, all my guy friends that are athletes and everything. And I was like, there's no doubt in my mind, I would have worked, and not that, like, people doing it doesn't work out, but I would have worked and given 110% just so that I can play as long as I can. And if $1 million contracts came, they came. But if they didn't, they didn't. And I just, guys are like, oh, whoa, there's some stupid boys. I'm just kidding. But they're like having an older brother. He's so opinionated too. He's like, it's just harder. No, it would be the same. It would be hard for someone to make it anywhere. Yeah. And saying, like, because you're a girl, because you're a guy, it's easier to make it so far. No, it's like, do you have it in you? And are you willing to give everything, or do you not? And I'm a firm believer of that. And softball, definitely there's a runway in sight, and for the other sports, there's not. And like, I don't wish it would be any other way. Like, I'm so happy for people who have the opportunity to play on, girl, boy, whatever it is, whatever sport it is. Like, they should definitely know how grateful and lucky they are that they're part of something that can last them years and years and years and build a career out of it. Because I say it all the time, if my career could be softball, and that would pay the bills, that would beyond pay the bills, and I would just continue just doing what I love, no office job, but being a part of a team, traveling the world, playing softball, like using your platform to speak about your faith and impact people. Like, if I could do this for the rest of my life, sign me up, sign me the paper, tell me what I got to do and I'll do it. Yeah. But unfortunately, we're just not at that state yet. So, yeah. But I mean, yeah, that's how I feel about that.
All right. Well, I'm going to say one thing and then I'm going to praise on you for a minute. You're playing with a chipped tooth.
Yes.
Just a gamer. So we had to move our interview up today because you got a chipped tooth. You're about to go to the dentist. We don't have to get into how that happened or why it happened, or, you know, that's just orthodontics. I don't even know if that's a word, but anyway, you're playing with a chipped tooth. You came out here and just a gamer, and that's just you. That's your heart. And so that's what I want to leave you with, is thank you so much. You know, your friends that are my friends just adore you. And I've had the chance to watch a little bit and see, you know, because I bleed Tar Heel blue, but I do watch me some Ohio State softball because I'm a fan and I have many reasons to be a fan. And you represent the university well, and you represent our savior well. It's really hard in today's world to be the things that we've talked about, an influencer, and Division I athlete, not just to get up and hold a trophy and say, I want to thank the man upstairs, but to actually play and represent the man upstairs. So, Cammie, thank you. Thank you for doing that, not just for me, but for my nieces. And I don't want to put pressure on you, but there's a lot of nieces out there that are watching you. And there's a lot of young ladies that are watching you in your career. And so I know that's a ton of pressure on you. And I'm sorry, because the last thing that a college student needs is pressure, but I believe you accept it, you receive it, and you represent it. And so thank you for just giving us a few minutes today and get that tooth fixed.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm gonna head in. I'm just glad it's not out here.
I thought we were gonna get on like Dumb and Dumber with like a cracked front tooth.
I know, that's what I would have been like. So basically,
I thought when you text me, I was like, oh, she's going to be like Lloyd Christmas, but she's not. And so thank you for coming on. Cammie, thank you. Thank you for everything you're doing for the university and just for being you. And it's an honor to be with you today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Unscripted Podcast with your host, Aaron Conrad, from his studio in Old Hilliard. Make sure to like, share, follow, and review on your favorite podcast platforms. Also, make sure to check out my song, Great and Mighty One, on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you find your music. We'll see you next time on Unscripted with Aaron Conrad.